Juju, Chase Claypool, and James Washington they could throw out there and give more snaps to. If Deontay Johnson's expensive, the drops continue.
If I was in his family or his friends or whatever, I would just randomly throw things at him all the time. just anything. Just like, you want to improve your reflexes? Here. Here's a bag of peas. Let's throw it at your head. See what you do. So
the old game of think fast.
Yes. Bag is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Your data is your business. Protect it with ExpressVPN for 3 extra months free with a 1-year package. Go to the link listed in my Twitter profile. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Donut Bag. This episode, I welcome back Steelers beat reporter Joe Rutter. We do a training camp preview. Training camp officially started today, or at least they started to come in today. We actually have news. Just learned that Vince Williams retired, and he was one of the best inside/middle linebackers the Steelers ever had. I think I ranked him number 9 on my all-time rankings. So, great career, and sad to see him go. But it's sounds like it's time to go. So, anyway, I have a little bit of news actually. Today, I recorded a segment for KDKA's Fan Nation. It is a show on KDKA TV in Pittsburgh where it's basically all about the fans. They highlight various fans, and they're doing a segment on me. I believe it's going to air in September. So, pretty neat. It also highlights my fan cave. Basically, what happened was I had a whole bunch of sports memorabilia and all kinds of other things that I've, collected since I was a kid. And I basically put it away. And when the pandemic hit and had to work from home, I had to use the basement as an office. And the basement was basically just a storage area, a bunch of junk, a bunch of boxes everywhere, just a mess. So I cleaned it out. I took out all of those sports memorabilia things. I got some new things, like a bunch of starting lineup figures from the 90s, which I love. I hang them up like on a wall now. And I kind of made my little fortress of solitude. I have a bunch of Pittsburgh sports things. I have a bunch of MCU things, some Superman things, things from The Office, Seinfeld, basically all the things I like, and I surrounded them all in one room. So this entire room is just filled with stuff I like. So it's my fortress of solitude. So anyway, they talked about that a little bit. So yeah, I guess I'm going to be on TV in the next couple months. So that's exciting. Anyway, here is my Steelers training camp preview with Joe Rutter. Donut Bag starts right now. Right before training camp starts, Steelers have some big news. They sign Melvin Ingram. With when you talk about that is Joe Rutter from TribLive.com. How are you doing, sir?
Doing well. Getting ready to the summer vacation's ending for me soon and getting ready to go back to work.
You know what? You had that lull. You had that. There was that month where it was a quiet period for the Steelers, and now it's going to get real loud, isn't it?
Yeah, school's starting, and I don't know. It'll be interesting to get down to the South Side and see what they do for those first few days. Although, honestly, I don't think they're going to be able to put the pads on probably until they get to Heinz Field, maybe a day or so. But yeah, to me, it's not really going to be camp until they're back over at Heinz Field, because at least I had a taste of that last year. So this year it'll be a little more familiar. But yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to see how they pull this off, at least for the little bit they do on the South Side.
So they start on the South Side, and then they're going to go to Heinz Field.
Yeah, they're on the South Side for a week, basically 5-6 days. Then they go to Heinz Field. And the reason they're not starting at Heinz Field from the stretch is the Steelers and Heinz Field. They had made a commitment to host. It's the Symphony or CLO.
Oh, that's right. They're doing Wizard of Oz or something like that. Oh. Yeah,
they had committed to that. So Heinz Field was booked until, I guess, next Tuesday, Wednesday. So, yeah, that's why they couldn't use Heinz Field to start off training camp.
Is it still a mystery why they weren't allowed to go to Latrobe?
It's, you know, their plan wasn't approved. And, you know, it's a small campus. They have a small weight room. I know that. I don't know what I never saw the locker room, so I couldn't tell you what that was about. They would have had to make major accommodations for the rooms out there. They would have, you know, guys no longer would be doubling up like they had to in years past. They would have created a lot more need for, you know, dorm space and things like that. And it just didn't pass the NFL test. I don't really know why, but the NFL didn't sign off on it and didn't like it. So, you know, the next best thing is Heinz Field. And, you know, hopefully if all this is totally behind us next year, Steelers will be back in Latrobe.
Yeah, they're letting fans come to some practices, and I'll try to go to some. So it's better than nothing. But yeah, to me, Latrobe is special. And I think it is special to a lot of fans. It's just such a great experience.
It is. And the one thing that made me think that it was going to be tough at Latrobe is so much of that experience is the fans can get up close to the players. They can interact with them as they leave the locker room, go down to the field. Then after practices, going back up the hillside, they could sign autographs and do all that there. But they couldn't do that this year. Even if they had been, you know, permitted to go to Latrobe, fans would have had to stay 20 feet back. That, you know, that would have killed any chance of getting autographs.
Yeah.
I think that really would have hurt attendance. And I think they would have had to try to find a way to socially distance these fans. So that really would have hurt the fan experience. So from that perspective, I can see why they're putting it in Heinz Field. And the thing about Heinz Field is they still have their markers up from last year when they were allowed to have fans sit in the seats so they can socially distance people without really having to change too much from last year.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, and then the other unique thing about this year is the Steelers get that extra preseason game. They're basically in, you know, they'll only be in Heinz Field for a few days. Then they have the Hall of Fame game on August 5th. So that's going to be unique.
Yeah, they'll get right into it. And, you know, at least for the way this offense is constructed now, they're going to need that fourth preseason game. They're going to need to, you know, get this line some time to gel together. Now, I don't know how much the starters will play, you know, in that first preseason game, but they're going to need extra time to really get this offensive line together and get things going there. And, you know, the offense with what they're planning on doing, you know, they're going to need as much practice time as they can get.
Is that the biggest story of this training camp? Is how is this offense going to gel? You know, you have that new offensive line and new offense, but a very old quarterback. So I think, will that be the biggest story, is just how will Ben in this offense gel?
I think so. Yeah, it has to be. You have a lot of the same faces back on defense, and, you know, signing Melvin Ingram helps, you know, at outside linebacker with the depth there. So, you know, they're, you know, pretty good at most of those spots. Not much is going to change there. They have their system, you know, they're going to rush the passer. You know, they're going to try to get sacks, things like that. Offense, it's going to be a totally different team this year, pretty much with, you know, aside from the receivers being together, they're trying to reestablish the run. They're trying to do it behind the line that has everybody in new spots and, you know, all these new faces there. And you've got a 39-year-old quarterback trying to adapt to all this in his 18th season. It's really going to be something to see play out. And it's going to be the ongoing story until September 12th in Buffalo.
I think, yeah. And I think even into the beginning of the season, I just can't see this all, you know, gelling together at training camp. I see some, I just see a slow start to the season because I have a feeling they're going to have some growing pains learning everything, at least for like the first few games of the season.
It would be understandable if that were to happen. You know, and it's, you know, the funny thing is you look at last year and how they got off to that strong start and everybody said, well, you know, the one thing is this team, you know, with a lot of veterans, they've known each other. They've, you know, been in the same system. Teams like that are going to have an advantage over other teams. But you can't say that about this season, you know, and especially not with this offense. There's so much in flux that, you know, that advantage is out the window.
Yep. Yep. Another thing to watch on the offense is I think everybody's going to have their eyes on Najee Harris and how he is going to help this running game. What do you expect to see from Najee in training camp?
You know, that's going to be interesting because it's, you know, since they've had a back of this magnitude, I mean, you have to obviously go back to Le'Veon, where there was so much hype about a guy and he's been compared from the size, you know, size, speed facet to being like Le'Veon. But, you know, in the last few years, you know, Le'Veon skipped two training camps and, you know, including one whole season. So he, you know, and even before that, he was barely used. I wonder if they use the same kid gloves treatment to Najee Harris, give him very limited use in the preseason games and kind of just get him ready for the season opener. You know, he has the making of such a good player that I would be leery to use him too much in these preseason games and, or even let him really get hit at all in camp.
That's a thing. I mean, they've basically put all their eggs in his basket. I mean, the running backs behind him are just, you know, questionable. I mean, he just absolutely cannot afford to get hurt. Is that actually something that they might be looking to add someone else? I mean, because right now it looks like Benny Snell, Kalen Ballage, Anthony McFarland Jr., Jalen Samuels, Trey Edmonds. I mean, is it, you think maybe like later on in the training camp, they might get someone else at running back?
They could. I don't think it's a big issue right now. I think as long as everybody's healthy and get camp okay, that they'll be happy with, you know, with what they have. I saw somebody on Twitter today. I don't know if it was a real report or if it was just somebody speculating that the Chargers or Rams might be interested now in Benny Snell. But you know, if I'm the Steelers, you know, you got to worry about your own injuries. I think right now you might be hesitant to move any type of player at running back until you know if everybody's healthy and, you know, you want to get through this with Najee Harris being a healthy player.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a fan of Benny Snell, but if it's down to him, then so be it. It would be tough if they got rid of him too. So another person to watch is that Deontay Johnson, just to make sure he has his drop problem solved.
Yeah. He bought a tennis ball launcher in the off season, focused on his hand eye coordination. I guess he just loaded up with tennis balls, stood there and catching them from the machine. And, you know, that's one way to go about it. I mean, if you can catch something smaller, like a tennis ball, figures you should be able to catch a football. You know, I don't know if he can get his own special jugs machine at home for footballs, but that was his big concern last year. He's a dynamic player, really good after the catch, a guy you can throw a short pass to and he can turn it into a long gain. But if he's dropping the ball like that, then that hurts his value to the Steelers. And it's definitely going to be a big thing to watch because they still have Juju, Chase Claypool, and James Washington they could throw out there and give more snaps to. If Deontay Johnson's expensive, the drops continue.
If I was in his family or his friends or whatever, I would just randomly throw things at him all the time. just anything. Just like, you want to improve your reflexes? Here's a bag of peas. Let's throw it at your head. See what you do. So
the old game of think fast.
Yes. 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 I remember, I'll bet this happened a lot. If like a high school player had a problem with fumbles, they would make him just carry the ball all the time, like throughout class, like no matter what, yeah, he had to hold onto the ball. So, but yeah. Another thing, another story from last week is Dwayne Haskins. he, I don't want to say got into a little trouble, but he had a little incident. Does that affect his status with the Steelers at all, or do they just look at something like that and say, okay, it's an unfortunate incident, not, you know, nothing happened with it, so be it?
No, I don't think it helps. I don't know if it necessarily hurts, but it definitely doesn't help. You know, the one thing you've got to figure out, and maybe it's a maturity thing, but, you know, it seems certain people, you know, trouble seems to follow certain people in these situations. You know, nothing really good, I'm sure, happens at Vegas at night. So are you, you know, why put yourself out there, you know, to be in that type of situation? And again, he was on the receiving end of a domestic violence attack. So it obviously wasn't, you know, no charges were brought against him. Nobody ever said he instigated anything. So he is clear from that perspective. But I think you've got to watch that, you know, as these things kind of, you know, manifest themselves. I mean, last year it was showing up to this birthday party, you know, during COVID when he wasn't supposed to be there, putting himself, you know, pretty much above the team and violating COVID policy. And, you know, now you have an incident like this. If you're the Steelers, you've got to kind of just got to, you know, just at least look sideways at it and say, okay, we got to keep our eyes on this guy. Cause you know, it's starting to show a history of things repeating themselves here. And, you know, it's something they have to monitor.
That's the thing. That's how I looked at it too. It's like, yeah, it's an unfortunate incident, but gosh, it always seems like there's something, you know. And then there was some report that he asked some Instagram model for $20,000 back. It's like, yeah, it's not, you know, it's not the end of the world, but it's just not a good look. And especially when you almost got kicked out of the league for partially because of maturity issues. It's just not a good, at best case scenario, it's just a bad look. That's all.
Yeah. And, you know, getting to camp might be the best thing for this guy. You know, and granted, they're not going to be in Latrobe. He's not going to be sequestered in the dorm for 6 weeks or 3 or 4 weeks, whatever. But at least, you know, if they keep him, you know, if they keep him intact in the where he's supposed to be. You know, if this was last year, he'd really be limited because he couldn't go anywhere because of COVID. Everybody had to, you know, pretty much quarantine during training camp at their houses. But, you know, at least this year with him being in the city, the Steelers can keep a better eye on him. Maybe, you know, maybe that's the best thing for him. But again, we're talking about a 24-year-old grown man who makes grown man decisions. And, you know, at some point you gotta grow up a little bit.
Exactly. Exactly. On to the defense. The big news is signing Melvin Ingram. And the big question is, how much is he going to play? What do you think, or have you heard anything about how much he's actually going to play with Alex Highsmith and TJ Watt?
Well, going by, you know, they gave him a $4 million contract and, you know, his status as a veteran, you know, they didn't bring him in to do the James Harrison role when TJ Watt was a rookie and trying to break in. They're not saving him up. He's going to play. You know, he may not start games, but they're going to have a rotation in there. TJ Watt's going to need plays off. Alex Highsmith might not be good fits in some games that you might see, you know, Melvin Ingram play more there. I think, you know, there's different ways they can use him, but, you know, but also this is a guy that did deal with injuries last year. So I don't think you want to throw him out there for 70 snaps a game and not, you know, do anything with Alex Highsmith. They still believe in Alex Highsmith. I think they, you know, believe that he can be their future. But I think, you know, it helps them all the way around to have a capable third guy that can go out there and rush the passer, because that really was one of their glaring weaknesses. Had they not made this move, they were really going to be thin after those two guys. And when you have TJ Watt that, you know, needs to take plays off because he plays at such a high speed, did you really want to have Cassius Marsh being the main guy you were looking at, or trust that Quincy Roche is ready, you know, from being a fifth or sixth round pick to, you know, jumping in and playing significant snaps in his first year? This really helps the Steelers a lot. And now that you look at the DeCastro, you know, getting rid of David DeCastro, they've got Turner and they've got Melvin Ingram. And, you know, they're still, you know, below what David DeCastro would have earned. So, you know, it turned out to benefit the Steelers well from a cap standpoint.
It's such a great situation for the Steelers because they're not expecting a lot from him. But if he just keeps TJ Watt fresh, if he just lets him take off some plays and, you know, goes into a rotation with Alex Highsmith or something like that, it's perfect. And I think that's one of the issues with the Steelers is every year toward the end of the season, they're either too hurt or they're too worn down. So something like this with quality depth, it's perfect.
Yeah, it is. It's a, you know, and here was a guy who, you know, made a lot of money in his career beforehand. And again, was, you know, as you're finding out, a lot of these guys maybe thought they were going to get some big money in free agency. It didn't happen because of the, you know, the reduced salary cap. And, you know, there's a lot of these veteran players kind of sitting on the sidelines as camp begins looking for these type of deals. And, you know, the Steelers were, you know, as it turns out, lucky that they had a guy they could turn to and get in Melvin Ingram that was still out there and you know, able to get a 1 year deal. And with the salary cap going up next year, when the new TV money kicks in, you know, if he has a nice season, he can parlay that into a bigger deal with someone else.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy for him. I think he was making like $14 million last year or something like that, and even then had a contract dispute or something like that. And now he's making a 1 year deal for $4 million. So it's basically a prove it deal, like just a you know, temporary thing until hopefully he gets a big deal next year or something like that. But yeah, it'll be very interesting to see that. Another interesting thing to see is, how is this secondary going to look? Do we assume that Cam Sutton is going to be the starting outside cornerback, or is he going to play slot corner also?
Well, I think unless something changes here in the next 48 hours, I think he heads into camp as the starter on the outside, at least in first and second down. And then maybe he moves inside on passing downs, third downs, and you know, Justin Lane or James Pierre, you know, gets a shot to play on the outside. You know, unless somebody else comes in and shows that they're ready to be a full-time nickel cornerback, then I think Cam Sutton can stay outside. But I the Steelers like his versatility, and I'm sure it would help them if he could, you know, stay at one spot and win that spot, and somebody else, more importantly, allows him to play a one spot by winning that spot inside. I think they're going to go with Cam Sutton, and, you know, maybe something happens here, you know, with free agency before, or with a trade before, you know, the start of the regular season. But I think right now they're going to go through camp with Cam Sutton and seeing exactly what they have here for determining what kind of role he will have and where else they might need to fill in the secondary.
There is some talk that Steven Nelson might come back. I personally think he burned that bridge. Do you think there's any shot that he even has a chance, even if he wanted to come back to the Steelers?
I don't know about the burning the bridge. He said, you know, he said some things on social media, but, you know, I don't know if the Steelers would hold that against him. I don't know what his relationship was like with the coaching staff. You know, he said on Twitter he's going to have an announcement today or tomorrow. You know, so that puts you to Wednesday, right on the eve of camp. I don't know. I don't see it. You know, maybe, I mean, they have the money to do something. I personally don't see it, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised by it at all. I seem to, you know, think that they like what they have though with Cam Sutton, and they, you know, they made the move to sign him in free agency, then got rid of, you know, Steve Nelson. So, you know, I think that's that they have their priorities. And if, you know, Steve Nelson, you know, swallows his pride, comes back, I'm not as strong about it as when Vince Williams came back. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, how would that even work? I mean, kind of the whole reason they cut Steve Nelson is because they wanted Cam Sutton to be the guy. So if you bring him back, like, how is that all going to work? It's kind of weird.
Well, the other thing we don't know about is what's the market for Cam Sutton, or not Cam Sutton, Steve Nelson. He, right, after he was set free, all these teams looking at me, something's going to happen. Well, we're 2 days before camp starts here and a week before camp starts everywhere else across the league. And he's still out there as a free agent. He hasn't signed with anybody. So, you know, that's going to kill his leverage a lot. And, you know, he's going to really, you know, if he, wherever he signs, he's going to get a much reduced salary figure. So it's just, you know, it's a matter of, you know, if he would come back to the Steelers, obviously he's swallowing his pride and, you know, accepting a lot less money than he was going to make anyhow.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the question becomes, if Cam Sutton is the other starting outside cornerback, who is going to be the slot? Is it just going to be basically a big what they're just going to determine throughout camp, like, you know, who looks the best?
It's going to be Antoine Brooks got a long look there. There were a handful of guys. I remember in OTAs and minicamp, they were kind of throwing in there. Antoine Brooks, I remember him sticking out to me. Now, I know that going back to Steve Nelson, he did play inside corner a lot when he was in Kansas City before he came here. So he could always, I guess, you know, be involved in that kind of role if he were to come back. But I think the Steelers are, you know, they want to try to see who among their young defensive backs. You have the rookie too from Oklahoma. I can't remember his name, but maybe he fits into it. But I think they're just going to throw a bunch of bodies there and see what happens.
Is it going to be the same rules for the media as last year, where there's just Zoom calls and you don't really have access to the players or coaches, or is that a little bit relaxed this year, or how's that going to be?
Well, I'm actually glad you asked that, because and it's not just, you know, because people don't care about the media and really what we do, but for fans, it will benefit greatly this year compared to what we had in camp last year. Yes, we will be allowed to conduct certain media members. There's a limit on how many each day can do it. We'll be allowed to do one-on-one interviews. I don't know about one-on-one, but up close interviews. There will be players made available after practices where you can interview them. I mean, from within a 6-foot setting, but you won't have to get as, they will still have Zoom calls, but not nearly as many as they had last year. So you'll have more variety in the coverage you get. More players will be made available that way. And the other thing is, with fans being allowed to attend at Heinz Field, that means when fans are in attendance, as reporters, we can report anything we see that happens out there. That's not the case when fans aren't there. When fans aren't there, we have a strict set of guidelines. We can't report on who's working with the first team, who's getting snaps with the second team. Really, even to the fact that, you know, somebody hobbles off for a few snaps with some kind of injury, we can't mention that either. Fans are there, we can. So there's a lot more information that'll come out for fans because of, you know, the fans being allowed in the stands at Heinz Field for these practices, and because of the relaxed COVID conditions in year two of this, we're going to have more in-person type of interviews with players, more players available. So there'll be much more information and stories getting out. You won't have, you know, 12 people writing about, you know, the same player every day like you did last year, that I'm sure had to frustrate, you know, fans that, you know, looking for any kind of coverage on the team. This year, I think there will be much more diverse stories that fans will notice right away.
That's great. That's great for everybody involved. It's very, I don't want to say funny, that during OTAs, you know, reporters were saying, well, I saw something, but I'm not allowed to say what I saw. So okay, we'll talk about something else. Like, it was just a weird game that you have to play.
Yeah, you wanted to say things and you knew, but unless you could get Mike Tomlin or one of the other players to mention it, you really couldn't say, you know, anything. Even the first day of minicamp, the first day of minicamp, on the morning of it, we had TJ Watt on a Zoom call. So that kind of confirmed, okay, TJ Watt is here, because people wondered, is he going to show up for minicamp? So, you know, you're able to do those things. But with random other people, the people that didn't show up, unless you had Mike Tomlin or a player talking about it, you couldn't report who was missing these practices, who was missing, you know, these mini camp workouts. And it was frustrating.
Yeah. Speaking of TJ Watt, that's another story, is are they going to sign him to a contract, and how big is that contract going to be? That's usually something that doesn't happen till like the very end of training camp, right?
Yeah, and the Steelers, I think they would love to get it done as soon as they can. I just don't know if that's going to happen. There's a lot of money being talked about at stake with this. You also have to factor that the salary cap's going to go up tremendously in 2022. So the longer you wait, you know, unless they feel that they can play through his $10 million this year, franchise him next year, buy more time to maybe get a long-term deal then. But to me, the price tag is going to be even higher next year, and especially if T.J. Watt has another monster season this year, are you really going to be able to spend $30 to $35 million or more to try to retain, you know, a defensive player of the year type person? So they're probably better to, you know, even while the money's not quite as high this year, trying to get him signed. And I do expect it probably to take deep into training camp. That's historically when they get these type of deals done. But I think from this team standpoint, they'd love to get out of the way early. And then you can focus on Minka Fitzpatrick, and, you know, because they have more time with him because he won't be a free agent for 2 years. But yeah, they have, you know, that he would be another one that they could potentially look at. Or if they want to, I don't know, I'm just saying like a Chuksakor for somebody that could be a free agent after this year, if they want to try to do some business with and try to get to a team friendly deal before the season starts. There's a few guys, not many, that would fit into there, but obviously everything compels in comparison to what they can do with TJ Watt.
It's funny how they have that role that you can't negotiate during the season. So sometimes, like, as they're getting on the plane for that first season game, they're signing contracts and stuff like that. It's just a giant game of chicken, really.
Yeah, and they were asked this last year with the pandemic if they're going to change the way they do business, and especially in regards to negotiating during the season. And Kevin Colbert said flat out, no, we'll continue not to negotiate during the season. Now, the one thing that has changed that they have eased up on, I think, is in terms of a little bit some of the guaranteed money and things like that. You know, that before, you'd never see them use void years in a contract. And
right.
This year, so they did kind of bend team policy there, but they're adamant that they have this rule and that they're not budging from it. You know, everybody knows that way, that you want to get business done, you got to get it done before the start of the season.
It makes sense. I mean, because contract negotiations could get pretty nasty, and you don't want that distraction during the season. So it makes sense to have that policy. But I know that's not the policy of every team. That's just a Steelers thing.
Yeah, and I understand. From what I remember, I think this started back in 92, 93, early in free agency when Eric Green was going to be a free agent, and they did not have this role in place, and it became a big distraction throughout the year. And after that, they said, okay, no more. And that's when they set that role in place, because they didn't want this to be an issue anymore.
Yep. All right, sir. Hey, thanks so much. Always good talking to you.
Anytime you need me, we'll sure, we'll be conversing again before they kick it off for real.
Oh, definitely. All right. Hey, thanks a lot.
Okay, Joe. Anytime.
See you.